Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. Built this city. We built this city on rock and roll.
Understand is that the broadcasters, and you've gotten this right, are entirely different than people that use other forms of communication. They have a license granted by us at the FCC, and that comes with it an obligation to operate in the public interest. And we can get into some ways that we've been trying to reinvigorate the public interest and some changes that we've seen. But frankly, when you see stuff like this, I mean, look, we can do this the easy way or the hard way. These companies can find ways to change conduct, to take action, frankly, on Kimmel, or, you know, there's going to be additional work for the FCC ahead.
Now, that's Brendan Carr. Now, this is going back. This is actually on Thursday, and Thursday and Friday of last week was a big day for talking about the FCC and the First Amendment and the late night hosts and Jimmy Kimmel. And a lot of that stuff I had not yet covered because, you know, well, Sunday was the big memorial service, Charlie Kirk, and so we covered that. A lot of the facts on the ground have now changed since then, but I wanted to get you caught up on this because it's important to know what has been done and what's been said. And basically what Brendan Carr was saying on the Benny Johnson show was, look, you better shape up, get your content right, or we are going to step in and do something. Now, in response to that, you had two different kinds of reactions, both with the same goal in mind, but two different ways of handling it. Way number one is, let's call it the Andrew McKay way, which we talked about, but which was Ted Cruz, the sincere way, the treat it as an issue. Let's talk about this as an idea. And his way was,
look, Jimmy Kimmel has been canned. He has been suspended indefinitely. I think that is a fantastic thing. I think Jimmy Kimmel was putting out garbage for a long, long time. But we're going to break down because there are real questions about why ABC suspended Jimmy Kimmel and what the role was of the FCC. The FCC threatened to revoke ABC's licenses. We're going to break down the First Amendment implications of that.
Right. And as I talked about during the Transgressors Memorial Service on Friday, if they do it to us or if we do it to them, well, they'll do it to us even worse. And of course, they have done it to us in the past. And let's just not play that same game. If it's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong. And then his reaction to Brendan Carr specifically when he mentioned that the FCC can get involved and be the judge of the case, the clip I played for Jimmy Patronis.
No, 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 no. Look, I like Brendan Carr. He's a good guy. He's the chairman of the FCC. I work closely with him. But what he said there is dangerous as hell.
It absolutely is. The FCC should not be involved in the business of dictating content to broadcasters. That's scary stuff. And it's extra scary when the president of the United States is talking about it in terms of, well, they're always negative to me, so why should they have a license? He was asked repeatedly in the Oval Office on Friday or Saturday, I don't remember which, about this, and he kept saying, well, 94, 97% of the time they're negative to me. How is that, you know, effective? How is that a useful use of their license? Well, whoever's in office, they're going to be critical of. Would I prefer them to be more fair and balanced? You know, would I prefer them to do it more my way, where when Trump does something right, you praise him, and when Trump does something wrong, you criticize him, and when Obama does something right, you praise him, and when Obama does something wrong, you criticize him, and DeSantis and across the board, right? You know, talk about the good, talk about the bad. But you've got to allow them to do it the other way, too, because even Brendan Carr previously was the guy who said, you got to give people the right to have satire. You've got to give them the right to say their disagreements. You've got to protect them because you've got to not shut down that type of political speech, especially at the urging of those targeted. That's Trump in this case, who are threatened by its message, because that would represent a serious threat to our freedoms. That was him in 2020. And he's right. That's right. That's the political tradition in this country, the First Amendment. That's the ability to specifically politically be unkind, be unfair, be mean. That's normal in America. Jimmy Kimmel, not funny. At least not anymore. Jimmy Kimmel, toxic, yes. Un-American? No, really American. Like, ugly, mean, political jokes and commentary are super American.
So the Federal Communication Commission is in charge of granting broadcast licenses. So ABC, NBC, CBS, they have licenses from the FCC. It is true that under statute, they're required to be in the public interest.
Yep.
What he is saying is Jimmy Kimmel was lying. That's true. He was lying. And his lying to the American people is not in the public interest. And so he threatens explicitly, we're going to cancel ABC's license. We're going to take him off the air. So ABC cannot broadcast anymore. And I got to say, he threatens it. He says, we can do this the easy way, or we can do this the hard way.
Yeah.
And I got to say, that's right out of Goodfellas. That's right out of a mafioso coming into a bar going, nice bar you have here. It'd be a shame if something happened to it.
Leave the voice work to the professionals, Senator Cruz, because you're not very good at it. But he's right. It is mafia stuff. It is protection racket stuff. It is say the nice things and we'll allow you to keep your license. It's outrageously un-American. I mean, I was at the point, and I kind of brought this up with Jim Patronis. I'm like, I'm about at the impeach Brennan Carr phase. That's how bad it is for an FCC chief to be calling for content review for political commentary about the president who's his boss. I mean, that's genuine. Like, Congress should be at least looking into the question of impeaching him. Even if he retracts it, even if he doesn't follow through on it, the idea of raising that, because it changes the nature of public discourse even when you threaten it. That's why the thing that Pam Bondi said was so dangerous, you know, starting down the hate speech, which she's since walked back and said it's, you know, going to be more dealing with violence or whatever, kind of in line with the Attorney General Uthmeyer's announcement of the snitch on your neighbors when they post political threats and violence on online, you know, the new hotline or whatever. But this, it's what I was surprised by the most is how few conservatives pushed back on this. You know, I was one. But I mean, you basically had Ted Cruz and Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson clips later. I love that Jimmy Kimmel, or that Ted Cruz says Jimmy Kimmel is terrible and he is not going to mourn him being off the air. But it can't be done this way. If Disney wants to pull him, if ABC wants to pull him, if, you know, they're not making money, those are all fine. But when the FCC starts to threaten, oh, no. not for that reason. Now, there's a different approach to all of this. It was also taken on Thursday. We'll get to that in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are all flowing smoothly. Not seeing any delays right now on 90, 98. They all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Now, the other approach was actually what late night hosts are supposed to be at their best. And the late night hosts were at their best on Thursday. They don't always hit this peak, but they were doing pretty well. Jimmy Fallon was the first one.
Well, guys, the big story is that Jimmy Kimmel was suspended by ABC after pressure from the FCC, leaving everyone thinking WTF.
What, the Florida?
This morning, I woke up to 100 text messages from my dad saying, I'm sorry they canceled your show. I go, that's not me. That's Jimmy Kimmel.
Now, that's just set up, right?
But to be honest with you all, I don't know what's going on. And no one does. But I do know Jimmy Kimmel. And he's a decent, funny, and loving guy. And I hope he comes back.
Okay, so decent, loving, and funny, I don't particularly side with any of those three. He did lose his mind after Trump got elected and, you know, never got it back. But then this is where I thought they were doing well. This is where I thought they were getting to the right territory.
Yeah, a lot of people are worried that we won't keep saying what we want to say or that we'll be censored. But I'm going to cover the president's trip to the UK just like I normally would.
So?
Here we go. Well, guys, President Trump just wrapped up his 3-day trip to the UK, and he
looked incredibly handsome.
As always, his tie was
exactly the right length.
And his face looked
like a color that exists in nature.
And his hair looked
better than Conrad's from the summer I turned pretty.
During the trip, protesters managed to project images onto the sides of Windsor Castle of Trump standing next to his good friend, Jeff
Goldblum.
This is Jeffrey Epstein.
Even though his administration still insists that he's not in the
Goldblum
files, which we all know is absolute bull.
True.
Anyway, to sum it up, President Trump is
making America great again by restoring our national reputation, reinvigorating our economy, and rebuilding our military. I hereby nominate him for the Nobel Peace Prize.
And you can quote me on that.
And what Fallon and Jon Stewart both did so well was, this is what it would look like if we had government control of the content. We'd all be scared to tell the truth. We'd all be. And what was interesting to me as I was watching Fallon in particular is you could feel the nervousness even in the middle of what they were doing. You could feel that, I mean, once you've introduced this element into the conversation, you've changed the conversation. Once you've menaced or threatened or been effective at pulling off censorship, everything's different. You know, I'm trying to think of a good analogy for this, but this is kind of the best one I can think of at the moment. Is if you're ever in like a marital disagreement of some kind, or you know, relationship disagreement, and you know, you guys are, you know, bickering back and forth, and one person like raises their fist all of a sudden, like they're going to hit him, and the other person kind of winces and cringes, and you know. You change the relationship forever, even if you don't hit them. That's what threats of government censorship for content do. Everybody is kind of nervous all of a sudden. What's going to happen? What next? Who will they go after? Who will they find offensive? Who will they find a pretext to yank a license? Because they've tried it already, and they've said they're willing to do it. This is the chilling effect of the regulation of speech. Because you become aware of it. You can't not be aware of it. You'd be a fool not to. I'm thinking about it right now. We operate on a radio station that has public broadcast licenses. Gosh, am I going to say something that the attorney general's not going to like, or that the president's going to get whiff of and not like? It changes everything, even if nothing ultimately happens. That's why it's so toxic. So I appreciated the satire. Stephen Colbert didn't really do satire. Jon Stewart was brilliant. I mean, it was really quite good. I'll tell you about that next hour. But I also appreciated the sincere argument, the Tucker Carlson argument. Tucker Carlson spent quite a bit of time talking about the dangers of censorship and the dangers of the hate speech stuff from Pam Bondi. We'll talk about that next hour. But like I said, this was last Thursday, and depending on what you watch or what you're aware of or what you hear, you may not have caught a lot of this stuff. And again, the thing that most frustrated me was how few people seemed to be traditional defenders of free speech and were all of a sudden keeping their mouth quiet on this. It's the only time it matters. If it's liberal, I mean, 400 actors all signed a petition to get Jimmy Kimmel back on the air. Okay, he's their guy. Who cares? Just like if, you know, somebody gets deplatformed on Twitter and only conservatives complain, who cares? It's our side, right? You've got to defend it when it's the other side because you're defending the principle and not just what benefits you. And by the way, of course, Jimmy Kimmel's going to be back on tonight, just not on Channel 3. Well, I think. I haven't gotten confirmation directly from Channel 3 that they're not airing, but Sinclair says they're not going to put him back on until, what, he apologizes and does some other stuff. But so he's not going to be back on here locally, but, you know, nationally. But even there, is Kimmel going to be different? I mean, I would love him to be different because he's been terrible for a long time. But is he different because he wants to be? Is he different because it's profitable to be? Or is it different because he's scared? By the way, interesting side note on all this. Did you see that liberals who were angry that Jimmy Kimmel got removed by Disney, which Disney ABC, were boycotting Disney? Were like dropping their Hulu and their Disney Plus subscriptions and things like. So you finally managed to get something to make liberals hate Disney. Like, it was just such a weird world last week and over the weekend. 624 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. You can always text me, 437-1620. Agree, disagree, or just, you know, hey, whatever you want to talk about. I'm here for you. All right. you know, one of the one companies we've had as an advertiser for, they were on for a while and then they're off again, but they are a great, man, I love this company. If you need to get video production done, Pelican Drones is fantastic at it. Chris and his folks are just, I mean, they're always expanding and doing new things. He's all involved in this, like, drone racing thing now with kids and education. It's fantastic. But, you know, the basic product of Pelican Drones is video production. You might think of them as aerial footage. Like, if you've got to do, I don't know, outside of your home after a storm. Of course, you got to have the before to go with it. It would be nice. So you do it before and then after. You want to do, like, a video walkthrough of a business. You want to do a promotional ad. Very common, obviously, advertising. You want to do testimonials from clients. You want to do a training seminar. You want to do a, hey, this is who we are on your website kind of video. Whatever it is, if it's in the air, if it's drones, if it's, you know, or, and maybe you want to do something aerial of a building inspection, but you don't want to have to go rent all the equipment, which sometimes it takes, do it with a drone, right? All of that stuff. Pelican Drones does it. You can buy them by the hour, by the half day, by the day. They work with major companies. I mean, Visit Alabama, Portofino, F.FPL, Innisfree, and then little teeny tiny, just you, if you need a video done at your home. Whatever the case it might be. And then you own it, by the way, when they're done. So find out more at PelicanDrones.com. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 all look good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Oh, and by the way, quick note. Somebody says, is it fair to be untruthful or to distort or to mislead people? Okay. Here's my challenge for you. You're not going to like it, but here's my challenge for you. Whatever standard you think Jimmy Kimmel violated, ask yourself if Trump's ever violated that standard. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app. Tap that app to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
Wait a minute, Doc. Pa, are you telling me that you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
Somebody says, you mean like putting January 6th protesters or participants in jail for misdemeanors? Yeah, no, agreed. Or you mean like how conservatives were silenced for years under Biden or deplatformed? Yes, agreed. It's wrong whoever's doing it. And by the way, the they did it first, so it's okay for us to do it is nonsense. It's got to be wrong. I'm so tired of everybody's just defending their side instead of defending the principle. Believe in the principles. Defend them sincerely. David Wayne, sorry, sir, you got a headline for us?
Well, lawyers for Sean Diddy Combs are trying to get him out of prison when he's sentenced next month. They wrote a letter to the judge. They're asking for no more than 14 months. If they went with that, he'd be out almost right away based on time served. Prosecutors will be letting the judge know their recommendations soon.
Chris Foster. President Trump addresses the United Nations this morning.
This comes at a challenging time for the 80-year-old institution. The Trump administration withdrew funding from several UN agencies, leaving the UN with a major cash crunch because the U.S. is the largest donor to the institution. Money problems aside, several conflicts around the world, from the Middle East to Ukraine, have only deepened divisions.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. ABC is putting Jimmy Kimmel's show back on the air tonight after a week-long suspension over controversial comments about Charlie Kirk's alleged killer.
Several affiliates are still not on board, including Sinclair Broadcast Group, which operates 30 ABC affiliates. The company announcing different plans, posting, quote, beginning Tuesday night, Sinclair will be preempting Jimmy Kimmel Live across our ABC affiliate stations and replacing it with news programming.
Fox's Todd Pyro. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It's 73 degrees here in Pensacola. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. The Escambia Sheriff's Office says they've taken a suspected child predator off the streets. In a social media post Monday, officials said that 25-year-old Tyler L. Hamilton had been arrested on charges of lewd and lascivious behavior and indecent exposure. Investigators say two victims between 9 and 15 years old reported being approached by a male in a black car while they were walking. Surveillance video led deputies to Hamilton, who owned a black Ford Fusion, which matched the vehicle on the footage. The sheriff's office called the incident, quote, sick and stupid, end quote, says they'll do whatever it takes to protect the children in our community. Well, a crash involving a bicycle and a vehicle yesterday resulted in some injuries. Not a lot of details on this yet, but it happened about 7:15 yesterday on Fairfield Drive in North W. So far, FHP has not released any information on the crash or the victims, but we will let you know as soon as we learn more. Pensacola is hoping to reduce traffic crashes in city limits with a $176,000 federal grant for a study on high injury networks. Now, the city says this grant won't fix the issues, but it could help to diagnose them. Officials have already identified the areas which have the highest crash rates in the city, with over 12,000 incidents from 2018 to 2022, including 28 fatal crashes. The study will look into street lighting solutions and how they could help. It'll also evaluate light deficiencies and focus on key locations like Pace Boulevard and Cervantes Street. Once the year-long study is completed, the city plans to seek more funding to install lighting improvements based on the findings. Now, NAS Pensacola's homecoming air show has been pushed back a week later into November, but officials say that show will still happen. This comes after the Blue Angels were tasked to fly in a 250th birthday celebration for the Navy, scheduled the same weekend as the homecoming show.
They were gracious enough with the team to be able to extend their show season a week, to be able to do the air show here for the Blue Angels homecoming show, which is absolutely huge, and it's something that we want to do for the community every time.
And that is Captain Chandra Mamasan Newman, NAS Pensacola commander. She says that they were able to quickly coordinate with area law enforcement, who helps with security, and their MWR team that coordinates a lot of the events for that show. Well, Florida Kids Insurance Florida has a kids insurance problem. News Radio's Chris Bryan with this story. He says this really isn't getting any better.
In the last 2 years, more Florida children have lost health insurance. The state saw the second biggest jump behind Texas in the rate of insured children between 2022 and 2024, increasing 7.4% to 8.5%. In 2023, under the Joe Biden administration, Florida, like other states, began removing some 500,000 people from Medicaid. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
The 2025 FWC Lionfish Challenge celebrated its 10-year anniversary with over 500 divers removing more than 30,000 invasive lionfish this year. Paul Carlson from Palm Beach County was crowned the Lionfish King. He collected over 1,500 lionfish. Donald Vatrinod of Walton County won the commercial champion title. He removed over 1,161 pounds of lionfish. The Florida FWC praised the diving community's efforts in conservation, and they say enthusiasm is already picking up for the 2026 Lionfish Challenge. 6:35 at News Radio. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now, but if you're at the intersection of 9 Mile on Highway 29, on Highway 29 going northbound, you're going to see just some minor delays, but other than that, things look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We do have a beautiful day in store for you today. Just a small 20% chance of rain, high near 88 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 73. For Wednesday, small 20% chance of rain, high near 89. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 76. Going into Thursday, showers and thunderstorms move in. 80% chance of rain, high near 85. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 73 degrees in Pensacola. Our next news at 7. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The OECD now expects global growth of 3.2% this year, compared to the 2.9% expansion it had forecasted in June. The agency added global growth was more resilient than anticipated in the first half of 2025, especially in many emerging market economies. It added that the full effect of tariffs is yet to be felt. Treasury yields slipped this morning as investors look ahead to remarks due out from central bank officials this week, including a speech by Fed Chair Jerome Powell expected later in the day. The 10-year Treasury yield was roughly one basis point lower at 4.133%. The 2-year Treasury yield was little changed at 3.599%. President Trump plans to meet this week with Democratic leaders as Congress inches closer to a government shutdown on October 1st. A White House official said the meeting time and location have not been determined. Futures are currently mixed. Monday, the Dow Industrials gained 66, the NASDAQ up 157. That's your money now.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them. They have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go. And that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Making it to work on time? No points. Holding the door? Still no points. Remembering trash day? You guessed it, no points. But with the Penn Air Rewards MasterCard, you can get 20,000 points and no balance transfer fees for opening a new card and doing your everyday shopping. Every swipe after, more points, more rewards, more reasons to swipe. Start earning today at pennair.org/creditcards. 20,000 bonus points awarded to new rewards cardholders after the qualifying spend in the first 90 days, insured by NCUA.
Okay, let's talk about renovation and how it's not like your ordinary happy ending home makeover show. Example, they're the guys who prey on homeowners and never show up to do the work. So that's why the state of Florida licenses contractors. You can check if your contractor is licensed at the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation website at myfloridalicense.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this Thursday at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida this Thursday at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Want to score tickets to see Florida State games in Tallahassee? Just download our News Radio Pensacola app. Then tap the app for your chance to win tickets to FSU home games Monday through Friday from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. Each day you enter brings you one step closer to being in the stands. The winner will be announced live at 5:15 p.m. on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Download, then tap that app. The News Radio Pensacola app. And get ready to be in the stands for game day with News Radio 92.3.
Good morning, 640 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Happy Tuesday to you, not Friday, as we mentioned earlier by joke. joining us now by phone, we have Brad Baker. He is the Santa Rosa County Administrator, and we'd like to talk to him in between the meetings. You know, the meeting on Monday is the committee meeting, or what you might think of as the agenda review, although they don't call it that. And then Thursday is the regular voting meeting, the one that matters, really, and we talked to him in between. Brad, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing well. First thing, I had seen some reports that the bridge toll booth question was going to be on Thursday's agenda as a voting matter, as a presentation. Is that actually going to be on Thursday's agenda?
The capital projects list is what's going to be on the agenda. We'll actually have a toll study presentation at the next board meeting, which would be actually October the 9th. The board decided to just do one meeting that week because of the change of guard at Holbrook Field happening on Monday the 6th.
Okay, so that's going to be, that's at the regular meeting. There won't be a committee meeting that week because of scheduling conflicts, but that's not this week. Okay, very good. But lots of other capital projects, including the big discussion about potentially one or maybe two different aquatic centers. So let's talk about that. It seems like everybody wants it, but the question is price, something in the, what, $40 million for the big one, maybe 20 or so for the smaller one because you got north end, south end concerns. Is that right?
Yeah, so the competition size pool would be in the $28 million. That's if you do an outside pool. You know, obviously if you did an inside pool, that would run up the cost dramatically. And then, you know, looking at a smaller pool, a recreational type pool, and I believe it was $14 million range. So, yeah, that's obviously a challenging, but the board did indicate that they wanted to move forward, at least with the design and start the conceptual understanding of the direction they might want to go with that.
And part of the theory on this is that it will generate tax revenue. It will maybe, it won't probably make money, but that between, you know, rentals and memberships and access, you can maybe recoup somewhere between 40-50%, something like that, of your annual operating costs. That, you know, it's a public amenity that people clearly want, and maybe it can sort of pay for some of itself. Is that kind of the idea?
Yeah, that's the idea. And you know, if we do the competitive pool, we could host competitive swim meets and generate more revenue. You know, tax TDC dollars through hotel stays, and then, you know, the input to the economy. So yeah, that's kind of the theory on it. It is it's a big undertaking, but the board at least wants to move to the next steps and have that conversation. I think the competitive pool is the one that the people have the most interest in, our partners anyway. You know, we've been in discussions with Gulf Breeze. We've been in discussions with City of Milton, the school board, et cetera. You know, they're definitely interested. We had one of the biggest outpouring on the survey that the contractor did for us. So very positive feedback from the community. They want it. It's just a matter we have to definitely have to figure out how to pay for it.
And that's the one part. Of course, we've had a lot of conversations, you and I have, and the board has had, about being able to afford these things. And I really respected the board for kind of taking the general position of, why do we keep doing studies on things we're not actually going to create? Instead of, and you know, and you've raised this question too, of having, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars of unfunded ideas. And you know, why do we keep doing this? And honestly, even though I get the value of having one, it feels like we're kind of going down that road again. Well, we all really want it and we know we can't really afford it, but we're going to start doing design. You know, ugh, no, but I guess there is a plan for funding this, or there's no plan for funding this yet.
Yeah, we still have to work that out. I do think that if you go with a competitive pool, you do have the ability to tap into some of those tourist development dollars for a portion of that.
Oh, okay.
We've got some other partners that have expressed some interest in that. So that's why I say, you know, the competitive pool probably makes a little more sense. And, you know, there's been some other discussions with the city of Milton on more of a recreational pool. So.
Okay. Well, I'm, you know, I know we're early on, but, you know, it was a big conversation yesterday, and I thought it was fascinating. Also, the discussion about, look, it does cost more to do it indoors, but a lot of people build outdoors than have to convert to indoors, just like UWF did and other places have done. Let's not do it that way. If we're going to do it, let's start with indoors, because we're going to wish we'd have done it that way from the beginning. We'll come back to this in just a second. We're talking to Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County Administrator. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Still rolling accident free right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Highway 90, 98. Everything looks good right now. I'm not seeing any delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County Administrator. Brad, you said that on Thursday they're going to be voting on a whole bunch of capital projects. That's the big money to build things that actually exist when you're done. And apparently a couple of them, I mean, you brought, what, like 12, 14, something like that, and they sided with two big road projects, right?
Yeah, they did. And out of our 84 projects that are on the capital improvement plan, 17 are ready to go to the next phase. And that's either design or construction. There were four designs, the aquatic center being one, the drainage study on Florida Town Basin, the Navarre Community Access Road, and the Joppa Football Complex. And they did not indicate they wanted to do anything on the Navarre Community Access Road, moving that to design at this time. And
that's
then,
a
you know,
not moving to design. I just want to make sure we heard you. That's not
correct.
Okay. Go ahead.
I mean, no action on that.
Got it.
On that one, but the two big road projects that the board indicated they want to move forward with was the we call it the North Woodbine, really the 5 points from Para through Vinewood, that whole 5 points intersection, making that 4-lane through there, and then 4-laning Berry Hill Road from 5 points all the way to just west of Pond Creek. So we're working out the debt services on that to take back to the board, but they indicated they want to move forward with that, and really the conversation hinged around, well, everybody says, you know, previous boards kicked the can down the road. Well, let's don't kick the can. Let's do something now, because it's only going to be more expensive if we wait another 5 or 10 years to do it.
Now, I don't want to make numbers up, because I've gotten all my numbers wrong so far and everything I've said to you. I'm sorry. It's my fault. But I remember really big numbers for Berry Hill, and I'm sure the numbers on the Woodbine are similar. What's the actual number that we're talking about for the price tag of each of these projects?
Yeah, so we did some value engineering with the design team on Berry Hill Road, and while it's still a big number, it is $33 million, just over $33 million for that phase of Berry Hill Road, and then $26 million for the Woodbine North widening in that quintet 5 points intersection.
Okay, and again, those are just sections of Berry Hill and Woodbine. This is not all of Berry Hill or Woodbine, because the totality
That's
of Berry
correct.
Hill, the number in my head was like 100 plus million. What was the number for all of Berry Hill?
Yeah, you're right, Andrew. It'd be around that, because we have a bridge to take into account on the next phase. And then you get into around the hospital and up towards Stewart Street. So that gets a little more complicated and a little more expensive.
Okay, but the smaller slice of these projects, somewhere in the vicinity of $50 to $60 million combined for the portion of Woodbine and the portion of Berry Hill. Anything else on the list that they are going to be looking at on Thursday to finalize and approve going forward, either to design or to construction or, I mean, advancing in any way that people want to know about?
The rest, yeah, I mean, you know, everybody talks about West Spencerfield Road. We do have a roundabout that is already completed design, ready to go out to bid for construction. So that one got approved, and that's at West Spencerfield and Giddens Road.
Is that the northwest corner or the southwest corner? Where is that?
Yeah, that is the, if you go.
Like, is that Benny Russell Park or is it the other one?
No, it's the one before that.
Okay.
It's the one west of there.
Okay, got it. Okay.
Giddens is the one that connects back to Chemuckle Highway.
Oh, okay. I was thinking about the wrong part of that road. Okay, fair enough. So one is a roundabout. What else?
Yeah, then you got the Highway 182 Phase 1. It's a widening and resurfacing of Highway 182. Doing some boat ramp improvements, Oriole Beach boat ramp and parking lot. That's a pretty highly used boat ramp area down in the south end. And then a seawall for the Val Alex boat ramp. We are replacing the playground equipment at Benny Russell. It has reached its end of life in the board. That's just over $1 million to replace that playground equipment at Benny Russell. Dredging project at Archie Glover. You know, that's a pretty heavy used boat ramp for us, and continues to have issues with, you know, deep water through that canal.
And is part of the funding for the boat, the Bal Alex and the Oriole Beach and the Archie Glover, I assume that part of the reason that you guys are able to approve that is because of the vote to increase the boater fees, which generates a revenue stream to kind of help make it possible to do those. Am I thinking about this the right way?
It does. And we also were able to utilize some of our ARPA interest that we accrued. We checked with the federal government, and they allowed us to use the interest we accrued because we spent that over time. And so there's just over $2 million in interest, and we wanted to use it in line with what we had used the other projects so that when we get audited, it's a smoother transition. You don't throw any red flags up.
Okay, and that's because it comes under the kind of the recreation health slice of ARPA money, is that right?
The water quality.
Oh.
Yeah, the water quality. Okay. So we did boat ramps, we did drainage and things like that with the ARPA money.
Okay. Any other projects that you want to let people know about that are, you know, going to be talked about on Thursday or voted to a final approval?
I think that's the main ones.
Okay. And, I mean, it's plenty. It's a lot.
A lot of exciting stuff. Yeah, it's a lot. This coming year's capital allocation, the last year of the half-cent local option sales tax money that expires in December of next year, and the capital fund that the board allocated for this year. So,
is any of the budgeting
have to save some for debt services.
Yeah. Is any of the budgeting for any of these things dependent on the bonding of future lost money, expecting that would be re-upped next year?
No, we won't. We wouldn't do that until the people voted. I think the board will talk about that in December. The kind of the projects that if here are all the projects we're looking at. If the people vote on it, then we'll take this money, bond it, and complete these projects.
Okay, all right. Good. Which is,
I would say now, on top of all these projects, I mean, we still have a lot of money programmed in the budget for capital, such as we got, you know, almost $3 million in paving for district paving, 1.6 for paving primary roads. That's our resurfacing. Mm-hmm. You know, we got striping. We got almost $1 million in sidewalks, boat ramp repairs, restrooms at parks. So, I mean, those were already programmed in the budget. These are just part of the reallocation of the local option sales tax and our capital fund. So.
And again, just for people who might be tuning in late, the bridge toll discussion is going to be at the next meeting in October. That will not be at this Thursday's meeting, but all those other projects are going to be, you know, voted on and decided about this Thursday to see if we take next steps on them. Great, Brad Baker. He is Santa Rosa County Administrator. Brad, thanks for clarifying, explaining all of that to me. I appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again in a couple weeks.
Okay, Andrew, have a good day.
You bet. 6:54 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And if you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors is a great selection of good quality used cars. And, you know, the question I would like to ask, and I know it's not maybe the fun question to answer, but do you love your car? If your answer is, oh yeah, cool, you don't need Frontier, at least not right now. But if your answer is, Andrew, I wouldn't say love, I wouldn't even say like anymore. Okay, well, you know, do something about it. You deserve to have a car you enjoy driving. You do. You deserve to have a car that you're going to like getting into and not be embarrassed about, and it's going to be reliable for you. And these are all the things that Frontier sells: good quality used cars that are going to, you know, they warranty them to 10 years or 100,000 miles. That's all included. But the you know, basic idea is you get a car that's a year or two old, maybe 3 years old, with 10 or 20,000, 30,000 miles on it. Great condition, and then you can, you know, it can be new and have all the gadgets if you like that, and it can just be great, and you can enjoy, love your car again. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. Looks like I-10, I-110, even through the construction zones, are flowing smoothly. Not seeing any delays to let you know about. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hurricane season is here, and Gulf Breeze Natural Gas helps provide the most reliable energy source. There are advantages to having natural gas in your home or business. Major storms typically do not cause widespread outages because gas lines are buried and protected. Most appliances, including cooking and hot water, still work during electrical outages. A gas generator gets everything back up and running within 30 seconds. That's the length of this commercial. Learn more about how to be best prepared at GulfBreezeNaturalGas.com.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Severe from Vicks.
Sinex Severe nasal spray?
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Severe instantly relieves nasal congestion and works 6 times faster than nasal decongestant tablets. The 12 hours of relief allow you to get back to the moments that matter without congestion.
Daddy, we need more balloons.
On it.
Try Sinex Severe from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this Thursday at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Levin Rinke Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's Thursday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When a storm is brewing, you need reliable information at your fingertips. Tune in to News Radio 92.3 for comprehensive hurricane coverage you can count on. Our team of anchors and reporters are in studio and at the County Emergency Operations Centers, bringing you live updates, safety tips, and emergency resources. From storm tracking to storm information, we've got you covered. Stay informed, stay safe. When the winds pick up, we're right there with you. News Radio 92.3, your trusted source during hurricane season.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I promise I will never even think about going up in a tall building again.
Take one step. Out the door.
You know, I was listening to a radio station over the weekend, and they were talking about deep cuts. You know, deep cuts on albums. And then they were playing, like, Paint It Black by the Stones. And you know, and You Really Got Me by Van Halen. I'm like, these aren't deep cuts. These are just old cuts. And, you know, deep cut is, you know, it's track 7, right? It's track 5 on the first side, right? It's, you know, and I don't know. It was good songs. But, you know, play the good songs and then give them the good descriptor. Don't, like, play me. Even my wife and I were joking about it. We're like, deep cut, you know, and then naming off like, oh, Welcome to the Jungle, deep cut, you know, or not. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the eyes of the world will turn to New York this morning as President Trump addresses the United Nations General Assembly. He's expected to also meet with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky separately at the gathering. The president's appearance before the UN comes just one day after he made the big announcement from the White House linking autism to the use of Tylenol during pregnancy.
Okay, since you brought that up, can we pause for a second and talk about this?
Absolutely.
The big allegation is that autism cases are in a massive upswing, and it's just not true. It's just not accurate. There are far more diagnosed cases of autism these days, but it's not because autism rates have changed. It's because our diagnosis has changed. We are diagnosing milder cases as being on the spectrum. People are seeking diagnosis because they are now far more aware of autism, so they're worried that when their kid's a little bit different, they take them in for a diagnosis. And so, and the core, like the very bad cases, the very strong, vehement cases, you know, the very vivid cases, the rates there haven't changed. So that's one problem. It's not on a big upswing. Second of all, if Tylenol or acetaminophen is the explanation, well, has acetaminophen and Tylenol been on the big upswing? And the answer is it hasn't. I'm sorry. This is just ridiculous. And anyway, I'm very frustrated by all this stuff yesterday. I know I took away your chance to tell us a second and third story, David, but...
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most.